You're listening to Memoirs of a Gaysian, the podcast, with your host, Peter Perry Lyon.
Wait, did you hear my tongue pop earlier?
Hello, hello to all the Gaysians and people of other persuasions. You're listening to Memoirs of a Gaysian, the podcast, hosted by me, Peter Perry Lamb. And today's guest is longtime friend, fabulous with a PH, a drag queen in the Philadelphia area, my good Judy, Ophelia Hotass.
Ooh. Hi, it's me, Ophelia Hotass. And it's time to film a podcast. Or record a podcast.
Record, yeah.
Record, sure.
Come no. On. I mean, though, we could film right now. I'm in full guiche, and you are stoned and painted for the gods.
Yeah.
We are drinking lovely, well, I thought they were margaritas until I had a sip, and then I was like, oh, this is not.
It's watermelon juice and tequila.
Yes.
With some mint.
And then I added some lime juice and
some
triple
sugar.
And I made myself a watermelon margarita.
There you go, honey.
So as we get, as we progress further and further into this podcast, you know, it just might get a little loopier.
I'm here for it.
All right, Ophelia.
Yes.
How goes it? What's up? You good?
I'm good. My face is not so good. My skin is like dying, but I am living my best life and I'm so excited to talk to you about this.
Me too. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Yes, June.
Yes.
It's the month for us queers. Love it.
Rainbows, all the other pride flags. Yes,
yes.
We stand.
Wait, so this past weekend, you were truly booked and blessed. You were just working your ass off, like in multiple states, like working the tri-state area. Like, what's going on? Talk about that.
Yeah, so I was all over the place. I was in Philly. I was in like the suburbs of Pennsylvania. I was in Delaware, I think.
Yeah, you were in Delaware.
I was in Baltimore, Maryland. It was crazy. I was also in Lancaster. You know, Amish country.
Wait, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, not Lancaster. It's Lancaster.
Lancaster.
If you know, you know. Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Literally, you as you drive there, you are passing horse and buggies and like Amish people.
Oh, 100%.
And you did a drag show out there?
Yes. So Lancaster City is actually a really cool, like hipstery type spot. And I did this drag brunch at this restaurant called Poor, and it was lit. Like, when I tell you, these white women were living their best lives. Like, it was literally all white women and a couple husbands. But, like, they were showering us with money and having so much fun.
Well, bless.
It was everything.
Okay, so we've known each other for a while now.
I guess it would be about 8 years. That's how long Mr. Hotass and I have been together.
Yes, because Mr. Hotass and I were friends before I met you. Mm-hmm. And then we brought you into the fray. And we've been friends since.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
It's almost a decade.
It baffles me that I can like truly, truly say that I did something 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And like have vivid memories.
It makes me a little nauseous, but
yeah, and you're older, right?
Shut up! Oh my God!
Let's get that out of the way.
No, I am a young, delicate flower.
You know what? Women of a certain age do have memory loss, I hear. So.
Shit.
Okay, so when I first met you, as your, you know, boy self, you weren't doing drag yet.
No,
and
not even close to doing drag.
Let us remember this, though, that you were afraid of drag queens.
I was terrified of drag
queens. I remember this vividly, and it makes me laugh so hard inside.
Oh my gosh, it's so true. I was always scared that I was going to get kicked in the face. Like, that was
what?
By the drag queen. Like, doing, so I was
doing like a shablam.
I went to a drag show in New York with one of my friends. I don't think you were there for this, but I went to a drag show, and this, I'm telling you, it was like a hallway. And there were just people on either side, and this drag queen was doing flips in the middle of the hallway.
Do you know which queen it was?
No idea.
This
was
if she's
years
still,
ago.
She's turning it out.
But, like, I was terrified for my face. Because, like, all I saw was a stiletto coming very close to, like, my eye. I was terrified.
Well, they're professionals. They practice this.
I'm a professional. Nah, shit goes down. I have some stories. I have hurt people.
OT. Let's go into that later. Okay. So, yes, I remember vividly, like, us having a conversation about drag for some reason. And just that you were afraid of drag queens.
Terrified.
And I will tell you this now, and I'm not saying that I get premonitions or anything, but in my mind, that moment, I said, watch this bitch become a drag queen. wouldn't that just be like the be all end all, like right? Ironic moment? And look where we are now.
Look at us now. Here
thriving,
we are.
In the Philadelphia area. Mm-hmm. How many Instagram followers do you have?
70,700.
Bitch! Woo! And I'm rocking a solid 1,400.
Yes! Followers grateful. Aren't everything.
They aren't, but I'm grateful for each. Yeah, they do. I'm grateful for each and every one of you.
Same.
All the robots out there, thank you for following
yes!
me.
Yes! Oh my god.
So, how did you kind of start getting into drag? Like, what kind of piqued your interest there?
So, I mean, if we're going to go all the way back, honey, all the way back. I came out actually pretty late. I was 22 when I came out.
Yeah, that's late.
And I guess, like, I was in a fraternity. Mm-hmm. I, like, hid all aspects of my sexuality. Anything that was gay, I was, like, steered clear of.
You were near bro-ish.
Yeah.
Like, even when I met you, yeah. you were mm-hmm. kind of bro-y.
It was just, like, I was just... Yeah, I was just suppressing this part of me. And then when I finally did come out, and like, let's be serious, though. You know, I loved Halloween. Loved Halloween. Like, I loved Halloween. And, like, I would wear my mom's heels when I was a kid, and I would be Dorothy. The neighborhood kids would come over, and, like, the girls would come over, and they're like, why do you get to be Dorothy? I was like, because they're my mom's shoes. So that's why I'm Dorothy, bitch.
Spoken like a true queen.
But it was just like, yeah, I mean, I've always liked to dress up, I guess, and I like loved Halloween. Like, Halloween's my favorite, and like I love like Purim and like the Jewish holidays, Purim and like Passover, because like you do things like differently from like your everyday life. I really like to push boundaries. I think I've always liked to push boundaries. So like that, it all just kind of came into itself, but. I came out and I, you know, like I said, I suppressed everything, and then I just started to feel like really comfortable with who I was. You know, I was able to meet you and all of Mr. Hot S's friends.
Mr. Hot S.
I was able to get like all my friends, you know, my friends from high school. It was just funny because like a lot of, pretty much every friend that I've ever had from elementary school to high school is gay.
Look at
every
that.
Single male friend that I've had. Is gay.
You always like, find your tribe
that's
somehow.
That's crazy, though. Yeah, that's so bizarre.
That is crazy.
But yeah, but I was able, like, I finally was able to, like come out and be myself. And I remember, like, early on, I was still trying to be, like, I don't know. I didn't want to be called girl.
And oh, yeah, I do remember that.
I was like, I'm not a girl. Don't call me girl. And, like, now I'm like, yes, God, come on, girl. Hey, girl. Oh, girl. Yeah, so it was just a weird time. It was very, very much a transition period. And then, yeah. So it was my 26th birthday.
Was that that party?
I think it was my 26th birthday. That's and I was like, we're going to do my drag birthday party. And I was like,
yes.
I was like, boys are going to come as girls. Girls are going to come as boys or whatever you wanted to do. Like,
yeah.
You could really,
it was like a drag queen, drag king.
You had free reign to do whatever you wanted. And it was so much fun. And that's where kind of Queero was born.
Oh, yes. Queero Wang. Mm-hmm. She's Queero Wang. She was crunchy. I mean, bitch, we were all crunchy.
I had another queen to my makeup.
Oh, yeah, but those brows. It
was not good.
Ooh, you had some oats. Some oatmeal brows, honey.
I think I actually covered my brows myself. Because I was messing around with makeup with one of our friends. And that's the thing, like, I did the birthday party, and I was like, this is fun. This
it
is
was
cool.
really fun.
And I was like, but then I was like, oh, that was great. I'm never going to do this again. And then I did it. The next year for my birthday, not as exciting, but still fun. And then there was an opportunity. The queen that painted me for my birthday was like, oh, you know, we're looking for, you know, first timers or like baby queens or amateur drag queens.
Is she still doing drag, by the way?
No, she retired and moved to Canada.
Oh, blessed.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it.
So, me right, too. Yeah, yeah. But she reached out and was like, or she like put it out there into the Facebook world and was like, anybody who wants to like, you know, do drag. And I was still like messing around with makeup. Practicing, doing stuff like this, because I did really enjoy it. And I'm gonna say this: I messed around with makeup for at least a year to a year and a half before I ever posted a picture online.
Yeah.
Before I ever like went anywhere in public. Like I'm very much a perfectionist.
Yes.
So like, the look needed to be somewhat there for me to, like, go and put myself out there. And honestly, I think it was really helpful. Because I went and I did this show, this amateur show, and I practiced for, like, a month. I was, like, it was all choreographed and everything. I watched the video back maybe a month ago. I look like ass.
Wait, please ass. Send me this video. I need to post it on the pod.
Oh, and also, I think I was Ophelia Hot Ass then. Because my first drag name was Kiki Lime Pie.
Oh, Lord Jesus. I remember that.
She was at the birthday party.
Yeah, she was. Kiki was at the birthday
then
party.
Ophelia Hot Ass came out.
Actually, my name wasn't queer. My name was at your party. No, it was, It was Be Off Say.
Oh, right.
Yes. And I changed the name later.
I remember you were between that and Betuse.
No, Bethrice.
I can't. Bitch. Yes. Honey.
Yeah, yeah, your crunchy beginnings, though.
Yes, but I did this show, and it was a full, like, it was transcending. It was a full out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
Like, I did that, and it was the most, like, high that I've ever felt. Like, just doing something, because I am shy.
Yeah,
like,
you
I am not
one. You weren't, like, a performer in high school, I think.
No, I never did plays. I was in chorus. Yeah. I don't even know if I was in, I wasn't even in chorus in high school. Oh, maybe I was. I don't know. It was a long time ago.
Yeah. Again, a woman of a certain age.
Right? But no, but it was just, like, it was just this experience, and it was just so much fun. Like, it was so much fun to do, and, like, the attention that I was getting, I don't know. I just felt, like, I felt seen, and I felt, I don't know, it was just, like, this crazy...
You caught the bug.
...emotion. Yeah, fully. Like, as soon as that happened, I was like, I need to do this. And you know what's funny? Before I did that show, I was like, oh, I should just do this, like, get it out of my system. I'm never really going to do this again. And then, like, look at me now.
I know.
I host, like, weekly shows. It's insane. But, yeah, it happened, and I'm so glad that it happened, because awakened this creativity inside me that has always kind of been there, but it was like, it was a place for that creativity to go.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you found your medium.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing.
And it's fully cathartic.
All right. We're going to take a quick little break. And then when we come back, we'll talk more drags and whatnot and Kiki. All right. Stay tuned. And we're back with Ophelia Hadas.
Yes!
Still in the hot seat, if you will. Ooh, that was a good tongue clap.
Was it good?
Mine is so... It's gotten better, but like...
Oh, that's pretty good.
Mine's more clucky. And less poppy, you know?
Yeah, tongue cluck.
Yeah, it's a tongue cluck. I'm no Alyssa Edwards. Okay.
Me either.
So, we were talking about, you know, how before you really kind of came into the public eye, you were really... you know, testing out different makeup and just honing in on those skills. And I actually remember, like, coming to your apartment when you were still living in Philadelphia at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it was us and our other friend, and you were actually playing with makeup that night. Like, you were just showing me and talking about, like, oh, like, look at all this shit.
Is that when the neighbor had to come up to and I had to, like, let her into an apartment? In, like, a half face.
I vaguely do remember that.
A crunchy half face.
Yes, a crunchy half face.
Oh, God.
Now, I of course we can't see it now. It's a podcast. But if you... I wish we could do a... You have to give me the content to show a before and after, because...
Oh, I will. I fully will.
Oh, my God. Because the before, like I said, like, crunchy, crunchy, crunchy.
Oh, girl's bad. It was not good.
But today, your makeup is just... You're a completely different woman.
Yeah.
Leaps and bounds, bitch.
Ooh.
But the evolution of your makeup... And I was actually... We were just talking about this when we were eating dinner. I was scrolling through your Instagram. I was like, bitch, those brows have gotten higher and higher. And now you don't even have brows.
Now they're gone.
Now they're gone. They've just
fuck brows.
Brows are... if you're not doing brows...
Brows are so 2018.
Exactly. So, but I want to talk about the evolution of your drag. Like, who was your inspiration in the beginning? And then, I guess, like, what kind of changed your aesthetic? Because I feel like I can't really compare you to anybody.
Yeah. No, I'm good. that's a really... So... Like, inspiration's a really hard question, because that's the thing. There's really, like, nobody that kind of, like, looks... I mean, I feel like all drag kind of looks similar in a sense.
Well, but, yeah, you're putting on a face.
I mean, you're doing
something that's not you.
Right,
sure.
And you're doing, like, all the same kind of, like, you're contouring your cheeks and you're blah, blah, blah. But yeah, like, for inspiration, originally I was, like every other drag queen, I was inspired by Raven. Like, oh, Raven course. Has, like, the quintessential, like, drag face. And, like, when I was learning how to do makeup, I was like, I need to learn how to do this. Because this is, like, it's pretty, it's big. Like, she had a big wing, she had a big cut crease.
I mean, girlfriend's brows were, like, in her fucking temple.
Right, and, like, her nose was snatched.
Yeah.
So, like, she was, like, she is, like, the best face to learn, to learn your face.
I mean, that's why everyone does her face.
Mm-hmm. And, like, that's the hard part. It's finding... Finding your face. You have to find your face first before you can become who, like, you're meant to be.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
And everyone's face is different.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, because you watch all these videos of other people, and they're doing their makeup, and you try and replicate that onto your face, and, like, it's not going to work on your face because you don't look like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You can do things to make yourself look like other people or whatever, but when you start to learn, like, okay, my cheekbone hits here, so I'm going to contour underneath there. Or, you know, my brow bone starts here, so I'm going to put my brow a little bit up there. You just learn your face, you know. You learn, oh, my Cupid's bow is deeper than that person, so I need to, you know, maneuver my lips to work for my face.
Mm-hmm.
And once you are able to do that on your face, you can kind of do anything on your face.
Yeah.
And that's like, so, like, there was, I don't know, maybe a year or 2 years into, like, so... Like, after I, you know, messed around with it, I did get, like, a weekly gig where I was doing, hosting karaoke every single week. And this was, you know, shortly after that first performance. So I was very lucky where I was able to put on a face of makeup every single week, you know, and I could basically, it was practice.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it was. And then I did this competition called Drag Wars, and it forced me, you know, I was putting on makeup 2 times a week.
Yeah.
And
oh, I saw just, you in Drag Wars.
I mean, that's what, like, that is really what jumpstarted my career, because I was able to work with other queens and you know, I was able to step outside of my comfort zone. I was able to do makeup that I would have never thought to do. You know, I was able to do, like, concepts or you know, weird shit, like, you know, something bloody or something, you know, with special effects, like, prosthetics or things like that. So it was just learning my face and then, you know, kind of tweaking it to be my own. And then for a while I fell into this rut where, and I'm going to call it a rut because it was a rut. It was a, like, fishy queen rut for me. I was
there was a fish
moment.
It was
soft.
I remember your soft moment.
I started out with these, like, this big winged eyeliner, and it just kind of, like, started to shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink. And I think it was just because it was easy. Like, it was, like, every week I would just throw this face on.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, I feel like I was still doing creative things. This was also the time where I was kind of learning how to sew.
Yes. I
feel like the sewing kind of maybe took over from the makeup side, where, like, makeup was always prominent.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so, like, you know, I was still doing creative things with my makeup, even though it was smaller. But then I met my drag daughter, Onyx Black. You can follow her at It's Onyx Black on Instagram. She is stunning.
Plug a child.
Yes. But, like, I met her and, like, we kind of, like, started to, like, you know, tweak. You know, she had always had, like, really, like, big dramatic makeup. And I put her face on myself. And I was like, why am I not, like, why did I stop doing this? Because, like, she did my makeup, I did her makeup. And I was just like, you know, there's just things that I used to do that I wasn't doing anymore. And I was like, I wasn't pulling things up enough, like, mm-hmm. up my face to give me, like, those, like, that snatched look.
Yes.
And I feel like my face was looking, like, too round, maybe a little bit manly. And it was still very, like, feminine and soft. But, you know, I kind of just started messing around with, like, bigger shapes, bigger lips, bigger eyes. And that was, like, so, I had found my face. I was doing, like, this makeup that I really liked, and I had, like, kind of, you know, I set myself up for success, and then I switched it, and I was going through a whole nother learning phase,
mm-hmm.
Where I was basically relearning my face, because I was changing things, and if you look back on my Instagram, like, maybe even a year ago, like, my makeup was, like, you can see it was a little weird.
Well, I remember your pride look from last year.
Yeah.
And well, she's a softer,
much softer
girl.
Much softer.
Yeah.
But then, like, when I was doing, like, that, the bigger makeup, and I was, like, relearning, like, how to basically put the bigger shapes on my face again. Like, there was, like, a funny transition period. And then one day, I like, I don't know what it was. And that's where like the brows came from, where all the weird brows started to pop up. Where it was like, I had these Spock brows, and I had like, they looked like antennas. I liked my brows. Everyone was like, your brows, whatever. I was like,
You know what? Screw y'all.
I like my brows.
I liked your brows. I thought they were fun. But literally, it was hilarious. Like, from week to week, the brows just got more vertical.
They were like almost straight up.
They were at one point. It was like just like two antennas.
Yeah. So then, but, so, like, after, like, I was like, just messing around with different shapes, because I had always done a really thick, chunky brow, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to try, like, the skinty, like, antenna-looking brow, and, like, you know, it was fine, but I have this signature pink wig, and I did this look of, like, it's, like, black and white, like, vinyl with, like, stripes on it, and I drew this shape on my eye, where it was, like, a cut crease, but higher, like it's really like really big cut crease, like over my brows. And it turned into just like this like cut crease into a wing shape. And I drew a wing liner in it. I kind of had like this window above my eye, no brow, just like a little window. And I started like, I just put some shadow in there, and it was cute. And I really liked the way that the shape, how it looked and the shape of it. And then the real, like, pivotal turning point to, like, my face now, like, my signature Ophelia Hot-Ass face right now was the Philadelphia Drag Awards, where I got this fabric that was the most Ophelia Hot-Ass fabric ever. It was pink, orange, green, and, like, blue. Like, these neon, like,
was it geometric?
Pattern. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
and it was,
yeah.
Like, so I made this gown that has all these crazy cutouts. Like, there were hip cutouts, vag cutouts, ass cutouts,
yes,
booby cutout, and I mimicked the pattern of the fabric in that window on my eye, and like people kind of went crazy.
And like now, like every week, you pretty much do like a and whole yeah, mosaic
so,
up in
so
there.
Now, yeah, so now like I use that space as an extension of my creative outlet.
I love
so like
it.
I base like if I do I do this egg look for brunch, and I will put a fried egg in my
eye.
For Christmas I put a poinsettia in my eye. I've done, gosh, what else have I done? I've done like, it looks like I've had plants up there. I've done stripes for Christmas.
It's gorgeous.
Like it's just it. Thank you, and I really appreciate it because it's just
so unique.
Yeah, and that's kind of like what I was striving for, because there's so many queens out there doing their thing, and to like be able to kind of find something that is like truly my own is, I don't know, it's, I'm very happy.
As you should be. No, wait, we would be remiss if we didn't discuss the fact that you have your own wig styling company.
Yes.
00Sexy.
00Sexy, yeah.
She's wigged me.
Yeah.
She's lovely. Mm-hmm. Love it. You do that. You make all your own costumes. Yes. When was the last time you wore something off the rack?
Never.
Exactly.
No, not never.
Actually,
it's been a really long time.
I don't know where you even find clothes for the body that you build.
That's why I had to start making my own clothes.
Yeah. You're padded for the guys. Your breastplate is...
She got big boobies, a big old... big titties.
She does. Oh my God. Those things are frightening. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, you are really just a self-made queen, because you really make everything your own.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fully crazy, where... the reason I do it all is because I don't trust anybody else to do it. It's just like
fair.
I don't know. I know that there's really, really talented people. I'm not the most talented person, obviously. And there are so many talented people out there. But, like, I envision something in my head. And when I see it, like, I can't relay what I'm seeing to somebody else. So, like, there's no way that somebody's going to be able to make me what I want.
So who better to do it than yourself?
Exactly. So, and then and that's why it's just like, you know, I'm in control of it. If I fuck it up, I fucked it up. And somebody else didn't fuck it up, but I didn't pay them to fuck it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of why...
What's your astrological sign?
Leo.
Is that a very... I feel like that's a Leo trait. Is that a very Leo
probably,
trait to have, like, to be
I feel like
control?
Leos are, like, very, like, I think, vain. I mean,
yes. I was gonna say Capricorn, which is me, likes a lot of control and micromanaging.
Yeah, I don't think it's a Leo trait, but I am like, I am crazy. Like, I don't let anybody do anything for me.
I mean, you're doing just fine, so I don't think you need anybody.
Yes, but sometimes it helps to have help.
It's so hard to find good help these days.
That's true.
All right, we're going to take a quick little break, and then we'll come back, and we'll chat about, you know, other queens and what's good, okay?
Okay.
Stay tuned. And we're back again.
I think you missed one. I think there's one more back. No. I don't know.
I don't know, yeah. Ophelia Hannes, you're still here.
Yes, I am. Hi.
And again, full, she's in a ball gown. Mm-hmm. She's in full face. Yeah. Like there's four wigs on her head. Mm-hmm. Stoned for the gods. It's great.
Stoned.
Lovely. She's lovely, looking lovely. Okay, let's... You mentioned earlier about your drag family.
Yes.
You have a daughter.
I have a daughter. And I also have a, what do we call her? She's going to kill me for this. We call her the Make-A-Wish child.
No, not Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, my Make-A-Wish child is Miss Bella Barba.
Oh, she's a bearded queen.
She's a bearded queen. Yeah,
yeah. She's lovely.
She's fantastic. You know, but yeah, follow her on Instagram at Miss Bella Barba.
Yes, yes, yes. Wait, I must say though, like, I love when you take like family pictures together because mm-hmm. all three of you are making such a statement in your
yes.
aesthetic.
Yes.
Like, you have Bella, who's a bearded queen.
Yes.
You have Onyx doing this like crazy.
She's like a spooky.
Yeah, this like spooky. Yeah. I don't even know how to describe what her makeup is. It's haunting.
Yeah.
She does some crazy ass looks. Mm-hmm. She did one with like very, oh, what's the word? The only reference I have right now is like Disney's Coco. But you know what I'm talking about?
Like the skeleton. Day of the Dead? Type?
Yeah, the sugar skull.
Sugar skull, yeah.
Yeah, sugar skull look. Mm-hmm. I remember she did that like a little bit ago and yeah. it was amazing. And then you have you, of course, like looking yes. like a perfect woman.
I'm like the glamour clown.
The glamour clown.
Yeah.
I like that. I mm-hmm. like that. That's a good subtitle.
Yes.
But yeah, talk about how you kind of found each other. Because, I mean, I guess Onyx was already doing stuff before you came into her life?
So, kind of. So, they actually came to see me at karaoke. Bella was... it's funny, because the first time she ever came to karaoke, she was scared to talk to me and take a picture with me.
Aww.
Like, terrified. And then...
You are a very daunting figure.
Apparently, I'm intimidating and aggressive. That's what I've heard. I mean, in drag, I guess I'm... I mean, maybe it's the titties. Yeah. Who knows?
Girl.
Those nipples are like... They
a
could
foot away. They're a foot away from your actual body,
true,
so yes.
True. No, and then Onyx was... She started coming out to see us, and she kind of like, you know... I think she like... She tells me, like... I'm not saying, oh, she loved me. But like, she did. Like, she liked my aesthetic. She liked what I was doing. So I feel like she kind of like... Not flocked to me, but what's the word I'm looking for? Like, she was, like, drawn to me.
Drawn, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then, so, then she came out and performed. And, like, I did, like, the first time she performed, like, she came and she was fish. And, like, I saw...
I would love to see a fishy Onyx.
Oh, she, like, she looks like a woman. It's crazy. She just, it's her bone structure.
Oh, must be nice.
I know, right? But what she that? Came out... Oh, the fan? Bitch. We're recording, fan. Can you not?
It's okay. We're good. We're low budge.
Right. But I, like, saw something in her, and then, you know, she would come out to all my shows, and we, you know, we just started, like, to become friends, and then she actually called me her drag grandma first. I was grandma.
Again, a woman of a certain
That's
age.
That's right. And then, I mean, Onyx is fully, like, 8 years younger than me. Like,
she's crazy. That much younger than Yas? Mm-hmm. Yes.
But that means we look good, okay?
Yeah, no one thinks I'm over 26.
Mm-hmm. Yes! Yeah, and then, you know, we just kind of like, we started traveling together, we started working together, we started the wig business, and...
Yes, double
it's just,
sexy.
Yeah, it's just kind of like shot up from there, and, you know, now we've kind of traveled all over the place. We've been to Boston, Maine, Maryland, Providence... Tons, Delaware,
the East Coast,
Jersey, Pennsylvania, like all over. Yeah,
we need to get your asses down to Miami.
Yeah,
love their queens
down
there.
It's too hot there.
Yeah, you would sweat.
I'm
your titties
sweaty.
Out.
I am sweaty.
Oh, I remember you telling me stories about that first breastplate you had. That thing was nasty by the end. She needed to go.
Yeah, we won't talk about that
one. May she rest in peace.
Actually, Bella has that one now.
No,
she washes it. She washes it.
Oh my god, the stank yeah. on it.
Yes.
All right. So that's your drag family.
Mm-hmm.
You watch Drag Race, right?
Yeah.
Oh, what is this dejected year?
I don't know. I'm like...
Well, let's talk about how you actually kind of turned me on to Drag Race.
Did I?
Yes, because you were binging it on Netflix, I guess?
Probably.
With our other friend.
Yeah.
So y'all were watching. And then, remember we went out that one time and someone stopped us on the street and said, oh my god, are you Jujubee saying it to me? And mm-hmm. I literally didn't know what that meant.
Right.
And then I was like, that sounds like racism.
It was actually fully a compliment, though.
I mean, I love Jujubee.
She's so everything.
She is everything. Mm-hmm. God bless. But yeah, and then I remember you talking about the show, and then I didn't really start watching it until, like, a year after that.
Right.
What season did you start on?
I saw, like, the tail end of season 4. The yes. first one that Mr. Hottis and I, like, actually watched and were into was 5.
So the first season that I ever watched was halfway through season 6.
Oh, wow.
So I watched Bianca win.
Oh, that's crazy.
And that's how I got, and Bianca to this day is still my favorite room girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of made me go back and watch, and then I've been watching ever since.
Right.
Who are some of your favorite Rue girls?
Oh, goodness.
I mean, it's so on trend now. Everyone loves Drag Race now.
There's a lot. And, like, I'm very torn. Like, it's going to be hard for me to say this.
Cause Top five.
I'm, like, torn about it because I love Drag Race. I do. I love watching the show. But, like, as a local queen, it is, like, hard to, like, not get... A lot of local queens feel, like, not recognized because they're not Rue girls. And then when you're not a Rue girl, like, I am constantly being compared online to Trixie Mattel, Bianca Del Rio, and get this, Yua Hamasaki.
Interesting. I see what they're saying.
It's the lashes.
It's the big makeup. It's because they all have big makeup.
Right, but it's just, like, these, like, it's, like, I just want people to kind of see outside of, like, that box because... We are nothing alike.
Well,
like,
you,
any of those queens.
You have to remember who's comparing you, though.
We're not,
it's the gay that just came out of the closet in Idaho.
Children. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he's watching Drag Race for the first time. And it's the 13-year-old white girl that lives down the block in, you know, Bucks County.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, it hits a nerve with me. But I love the show. I do love the show. And I do, I love a lot of the people that are on it. But I feel like the show, and this is also, who knows, I feel like the show is... I'm so glad... Can I spoil the winner of this season?
Bitch, if you didn't know who won by now, you deserve it for it to be spoiled.
Perfect. So I'm so glad that Evie did win because she was so weird. Because, like...
Love her.
There are so many times... So, same. That I feel like Rue and Michelle and some people were like... Would stifle people's creativity and make them be like... I feel like if I got on that show, they would be like, where are your eyebrows? What is this? What is going on with your makeup? And they'd want me to soften it a lot.
I think they'd love you now.
Really?
No, here's okay. If and when you are on Drag Race, you're gonna go in with your signature Ophelia, like crazy ass big makeup, all that shit, and then you're gonna be the one queen that finally takes the note where it's like, try glamour, try more fish, and you'll do it, and then you'll win that challenge.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I could do it. I can do fish makeup.
Exactly. I know you can. And I just know, because, like, historically, anytime someone, when they give a queen a note and then they take the note, they get booted off.
Right.
That next episode. Derek Barry, Milk.
Right.
the list goes on.
Right.
But if I just know that, you know, you'll do your thing and then they'll keep giving you the note, as good TV does.
Right.
Like, you gotta, you know, say it a few times before we build up the drama and then you'll finally take the note and then... They'll be like, well, bitch, yes.
Right. And I feel like that's kind of like what Evie did. Where, like, when she came out with, like, the three eyes and was, like, full glam.
It was glam. And like, it was different. It was still true to her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what I love. And, like, I do love that there have been, like, those queens that are quirky and weird. And, like, they have, like Jinx won. And Evie won. Like,
I love Jinx.
Same. Like, I am glad, but yeah, it's hard. But, those are, I think... But, like, getting back to your question, I think those are, like, some of the queens that I really do. I like the weird queens. I like the queens that are, like... I like Dusty Ray Bottoms. Like, I like the weirdness of it. You know what I mean?
I've seen her perform a few times in New York.
Right. And it's almost like... I don't know. Have you watched Dracula?
A little bit, but it gets a little funky. It gets a little weird.
It is weird, but
I like
it.
And it's hard to watch.
I like that it's, like, raw and, like, gritty.
I love the makeup and, like, the stuff that gets them to, like, their runway, their quote-unquote runway. But, like, some of the challenges are just, it's a little fear factory for me. And I'm just like, I don't like this.
I agree fully. I could never be on it because, like, I am not going to get a tattoo. I'm not going to get, like, needles and blah, blah, blah. But. Oof,
gosh.
But, like, I've talked to, like, a few of the queens that have been on that show. And, like, they're cool fucking people.
Yeah,
and,
I
like,
bet.
But I feel like they're not getting, like, almost, you know, as much recognition because it's not as mainstream. Love both of them, but I'm just curious to see, like, where, I don't know, I think drag is going different places. Oh, there's also a YouTube series called Camp Wanakiki.
Oh, I've heard about it.
Hilarious.
It's on my list to watch.
Oh my God, please do it, because it's so good.
Oh my gosh. And, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier about, you know, I've heard this from a lot of queens where they say, like, you know, it's great to be a Rue girl, but it does somewhat take away from the local queens. Mm-hmm. But now that it's drag is on such a bigger, bigger spectrum, and like it's so visible now. Mm-hmm. It's like you see it on in TV, you see it in movies, you see it everywhere. It's just so readily available.
It's fully made. Like I'm able to work where I work because it's on TV.
Exactly.
Like, people are more comfortable with a man in a dress. Or, you know, a woman in drag or whatever.
Yep.
You know, whatever, like, whoever you're representing in drag, like, people are more comfortable with it because it's on TV. And, yeah, that is great. It really is great.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so there's a local bar down the street that I go to. It is a very, like, blue-collar bar. I love it. It's my favorite bar in Westchester. But, like, the owner told me straight up, he goes, if you would have come in here 10 years ago, you would have gotten your ass kicked.
Yeah.
Because I go there in drag. I go there in full drag, full face, boy clothes, whatever. And, like, they love it. Like, the owner loves it when I come in full drag. Like, he hugs me and he's, like, staring at my tits and, like, lives for it. I mean, he's, like, an 80-year-old guy. But, like, he straight up told me, like, 10 years ago, you would have gotten your ass kicked here.
And like, he's not wrong. It's true.
No, not at all. And, like, as far as we still have to go to, like, you know, become, like, fully accepted... We are, like, we're making strides, and it is great.
Leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
Before we go, though, I have to address this. If you follow Ophelia, when you follow Ophelia on Instagram...
At Ophelia underscore hottest, that's at O-P-H-E-L-I-A underscore H-O-T-A-S-S.
I wasn't listening, but I hope you spelled it right.
I hope I did, too.
She just finished her drink, so we don't know. Let's talk about that... How you go to Wawa in full beat every fucking night of the week.
Hi, Wawa. Sponsor me.
I was about to ask you. Has Wawa sponsored you yet?
Not yet, honey.
Oh, my God. Like, you... What is... That staff must know you.
Oh, they love me.
Do they take pictures with you?
Yes, every time.
If I was working at Wawa and this bitch came in and in full beat, I'd be like, get over here. You're going to my story.
Me. There's this, like, very flamboyant man that works there now. I think his name is... I don't know if I should say it.
Don't say his name.
I won't say his name.
Let's give him his privacy.
Yes. But his personality is through the roof. And I walk in there and he runs from behind the deli counter and like comes and gives me a big hug.
Aww.
And like, and then he started coming to my shows now.
Yeah.
Like it is funny. And and like, there's another guy who's in there and like, you know, he's always like, oh, you're getting the spicy pickles again. I'm like, yeah, every time.
Spicy pickles?
They're so good.
They're spicy pickles? They're like called, in a bag?
Yeah.
Are they like chipped or are they a whole pickle?
No, they're like, they're
little
cut up.
Discs?
Mm-hmm. It's like a one pickle like cut
love
up.
A pickle.
They're so good. They have the unspicy ones too. I get like 3 packs every time I go to Wawa.
Ooh, girl. Aren't you Jewish? Do you have 12 tums after you're done that?
pickles, girl. It's just a Jewish delicacy. All
right.
Wawa, sponsor me, please. Thank you. Right.
Same, though. Like, every time I come home, I speak very well of you, Wawa. Just saying. Like,
yes.
Tried and true.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we have... spoken about the whole gamut and spectrum of your career, and truthfully, it baffles me, like in a really good way. Just having seen your beginning,
right,
and then seeing where you are now,
the whole journey,
pretty much. And I stan Ophelia Hotass.
Yes.
So, and I mean, I consider you my fairy drag mother.
Oh.
Because the few times that I've gotten up in the gig.
You had to borrow a costume that one time.
I sure did. It looked great.
It did look great.
She looked lovely.
I think I sold that to somebody.
I looked petite. That's what kind of took me out. I was like, oh, bitch.
That's why I make everything real tight, so it just sucks it all in.
And I wasn't even like corseted or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But yes, you are essentially my fairy drag mother. And yes, your career can only get bigger at this point. And
knock on wood.
I'm just saying, RuPaul's Drag Race season 13.
Hi, it's me.
I want you fully to come in like a Wawa outfit.
I could do that.
Yeah, I think that's a Wawa color scheme. I think you can make that work.
Yes.
All right. If you didn't catch how she spelled her name, follow Ophelia on Instagram at Ophelia underscore hot ass.
Yes.
O-P-H-E-L-I-A underscore H-O-T-A-S-S.
Yes.
Correct. Bless, I can spell.
Yes!
Of course, you can always follow me on Instagram and Twitter at PPL2006 or follow the podcast on Instagram at Memoirs of Agasian Pod for any content that might not have made the episode or just random ass pictures. And yeah, Anything else to say?
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here.
I'm so excited. And I do want to say that I end a live video, I always tell people to, the only thing that I want you to do today, tomorrow, whenever, is I want you to go out there and spread love and kindness because the world fucking needs it.
Yes. Just, yeah,
be nice to people, spread love, and stop the hate.
Well, on that note, peace out.
Bye.